There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby!
That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. And coming up this hour, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch, our guest for Ask the Sheriff. Reminder to get those questions in on the text line and the phone line, both 343-0106, 343-0106 for a call or a text. And if you use the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave us one of those talkback messages there from the front page. But our leadoff batter today, as we're looking at a system in the Gulf, it's got a name and it's got a lot of people talking. It's Francine, and we bring in our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, for more on that. Hey, Doc.
Hey there, Sean. Yeah, Francine is getting act together right now, and satellite pictures it's becoming rather impressive. It's still a small tropical storm, but it will be intensifying as it moves in a northeasterly direction. It's way down near the near Brownsville, Texas, about the Mexican border, and it's just east of that. And but it is making that turn now, north-northeast at 8 miles per hour. Highest winds are 65 miles per hour, so it's getting close to becoming a full-fledged hurricane. It now appears that it will become a hurricane probably by evening. And during the nighttime hours tonight, it should continue to intensify. And most likely will become a Category 1 hurricane, or at least a strong Category 1, perhaps with winds getting up around 90 miles per hour. Right now, it looks like it will make landfall in Louisiana, and that will occur tomorrow afternoon, almost as late as the early evening as possible. And it may lose a little bit of strength just before it reaches the coast because of what we call wind shearing. The upper air winds are strong enough to weaken the structure of the storm, but it still will be a Category 1 hurricane. And it looks like it could produce a storm surge on the central coast of Louisiana that could be anywhere from 8 to 10 feet. The likely target right now looks like Morgan City. And after it moves into the Morgan City area, it will track very close to Baton Rouge. And, of course, it will be losing strength. And then up around Vicksburg. And eventually, by late Thursday, it'll be a tropical depression and be up around Memphis. And will continue on up into the Midwest. But as far as our area, it looks like we'll see... rainfall totals of 2 to 4 inches, and that's possible. And we, of course, need some rain, although it's we don't like to get it in those amounts all at once. But we will get some rain out of this. There's a lot of it now, a big rain shield that is located to the northeast of that storm, and that will be moving in tonight, tomorrow, and into Thursday. And then conditions should improve late Thursday and Friday. We can right now look for some wind gusts tomorrow up to about 30 to 35 at times. And they'll be out of the east. And then southeast tomorrow night, same thing, gusts around 30 to 35. And then on Thursday, gusts around 30 and the wind will be out of the south.
Dr. Bill, what are you telling folks like at the southern end of Mobile County and southern end of Baldwin County? I know that we're a good distance away, but storm surge of or tides higher than normal. What would you expect far east?
Yeah, right now, Sean, we're looking at about 1 to 3 feet for a storm surge, and that means we have to include Mobile Bay, and particularly when the winds switch around to the south, and that'll push more water to the coast and into the bay. Now, the question is, could the storm move a little farther to the east? That is possible, but right now it looks like it will be a Louisiana storm around Morgan City and then on through Baton Rouge, keeping it just west of New Orleans. But we're going to continue to watch this and see if any changes occur while it's out, well out in the Gulf. And any changes that occur out there will have a great effect on where the landfall occurs, obviously. And so we want to watch that.
So, I mean, there is some, because I saw the adjustment in the track a little bit east, or saying Morgan City. Are there things in meteorology you're looking at that could let it go further east? I mean, it's not a foregone conclusion?
Yeah, we're always looking at the upper air pattern over the area, and already there's that possibility that it could lose some strength as it approaches the coast because of the upper air winds. And they can also be a factor in the final path of that storm. So those are things that we constantly are working on.
All right, Dr. Bill, we appreciate the update. We'll be looking back to you for updates the whole way through the next couple of days, because you said we'll be getting rain today and tomorrow, even into Thursday.
Okay, Sean, we'll be watching it closely.
Thanks, Dr. Bill. There's our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, getting us started on this Tuesday. And in studio, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch, good to see you.
Always good to be here.
Now, that kind of information, though, I mean, from, you know, we think about, and we'll talk about crime and all that, but public safety does go beyond people breaking laws.
It does. And you know, feeding off of, you know, Dr. Bill's information, you know, pay attention to our low-lying areas. They have been the same for years.
Yep.
And never hurts to have a full tank of fuel and, you know, just to be prepared.
Yep.
Yeah, but, you know, as of now, there are no shelters being opened in Mobile County. So
it doesn't sound like we need them, but it is, you know, something to look at. You talk about this, and it's so important. The areas that do flood, and knowing them, and, you know, as a Mobile guy, you know them, I know them. It's interesting to see the when a bigger storm comes in and national media comes in, they're like, this whole area, you're like, no, that doesn't flood there. It floods down there in that bayou, and it floods out of that canal, but it doesn't flood over there. That's, yep, you know, another 100 feet higher, and, you know, they could draw these big crayon maps where it's flooding everywhere. You're like, well, it doesn't exactly flood like that.
Yeah, like some of that's normal.
Yeah, some of that's just the way we roll around here. Well, a lot to talk about on today's show, and people can get their questions in for the sheriff. He's in for the hour, 343-0106, 343-0106. I guess we'll start off with this one. You've been making news here since last time you're in. Y'all, you know, always seem to have something. Yeah, you respond, and then people you know, either cheer or clasp their pearls when you say something. Question about concealed carry permits and applying to people who are under 21, right? Yep. So that's in your words, because this has been, and you have, I've seen you on talking about them, but go back to this and what are you looking at in your words? What do you want to see happen?
Well, yeah, and there was some misunderstanding on those initial interviews, if you want to call it that. All I'm looking is to have a discussion, you know, and if that would be an option to curtail some of the violent crime we're seeing, you know, in and around Mobile County. And I say Mobile County in different municipalities. And, you know, fortunately, there's not a lot of that out in the county. So, you know, and what we're seeing statistically is most, and I say most, 90% at least, of those violent crimes involving firearms are being committed by people 20 years and younger. Now, you know, the law as it is written for 17 and under, you know, they're forbidden to possess a pistol anyway.
Right.
But we still have a fair number of those from, you know, 20 to 18 that are out here, you know, committing violent crimes. And, you know, I'm just looking for a discussion to, you know, see a way that we can address that.
Okay. So, and you've done this in the past, but I think this is worth doing again. Describe this as a lifelong law enforcement officer. You pull over a vehicle. Tell me how having, in this case, having that they would have to have a concealed carry permit under 21. How does that help the officer? How does it help the deputy? Kind of like walk us through that.
Well, you know, let's just say you pull a car over for whatever traffic violation, and there are a number of people fitting that category that, you know, three or four in the car with three
they're
or four
under 21,
guns.
Yeah.
They're under 20. And, you know, if, let's say it's 2 o'clock in the morning. They're not going to school. They're not going to work.
Right.
You know, what are you doing? And typically, you know, that's you're up to no good if you're out rolling around that time in the morning. Well, that let's just say that amendment passed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they didn't have a permit, they go to jail and we take the guns.
Right. So you say, can we search the vehicle? Here's a gun. Whose gun is this? Oh, it's...
They don't try to hide them anymore. I mean, it's typically when we do a traffic stop, they're plain view and, you know, you can see them in their waistband and, you know, they don't try to hide them.
Okay. So at that point, you say, all right, you got a pistol there. Where's your permit?
Yep.
And does that, I mean, help make a bigger arrest or is it just taking that gun away from that?
Well, I would venture to say that most of the people committing these crimes, those guns are stolen, you know, because they can't legally go purchase one. And, you know, that would allow us to effect an arrest, run the serial numbers on the gun, determine if it's stolen or not, you know, and you know, seize the weapon. And you know, people get upset when I say that. It's, you know, we're not looking to do gun grabs. We're trying to take them out of the hands of people that really don't belong.
Right. Todd Grand Bay said, why would the 20-year-old, and he, Todd, using my word that I use a lot on the show, why would the 20-year-old dirtbag worry about getting a permit? He doesn't carry a gun. He don't carry a gun regardless. But thank you for your service, Sheriff.
Well, he's going to carry a gun regardless, but if he was required to have a permit, he gets to go to jail. And so you're right. And that argument is used a lot. If bad guys are going to be bad guys, they don't care what the law is. But, you know, that ability to effect that arrest has now been taken away. And again, I'm just looking for a discussion. I'm not trying to lead an effort to repeal the law or anything like that, but it's certainly worth talking about. You know,
numbers
don't lie.
Yeah, it would be, because Bob's saying, you know, there's no permit needed in the state of Alabama. We know that, but you're saying an amendment possibly to that for this age group.
Right. And they would, you know, the way my thought process is, it would certainly exclude, you know, military, whether it be active or reserve, you know, because number one, you've, you know, been vetted basically and you know, had some training.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, anybody employed in the public safety field, you know, who's had same background and, you know, education on firearms. You know, and again, I welcome these discussions. You know, I think some people get a little too passionate about it, you know, but, you know, I respect everyone's opinion. And, you know, but there's no need to get nasty about it, which is what I've encountered a lot lately.
Well, let's talk about it. We come back more with Sheriff Paul Birch right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, your chance to ask the sheriff, our guest this hour, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch. And I do want to, this texture, just like we were talking about, said, speaking of flooding, I live on Dog River and my yard will flood with a full moon and a high tide. Exactly. It's like Dr. Bill gets it. We all get it. It is interesting, though, when there's not a big enough storm that you'd have national media, but it's always been funny over the years. National media comes in, though, do some live shot for the city of Mobile, like, oh, this could be underwater. You're like, nah, it doesn't exactly work like that.
Well, over the years, you know, having worked, you know, many hurricanes, I literally saw some of the national news people standing beside a building under a downspout downtown for their live shots.
That's right.
I mean, it was comical.
But they'll go do this. They'll, and there's so many times you'll see this. They're standing in the water doing the report. the dry land is 5 to 10 feet away from them, but they roll up their trousers and get out there to do the live shot. And you're like, well, you could just stand right there where it's dry, but it's not as dramatic. This texter said, I inherited a pistol from my stepfather. Is there anything I need to do as far as registering it?
Well, number one, do not register it, would be my opinion. And no, but legally, no, there's nothing that...
don't need to...
No.
Yeah, because what we're talking about is concealed carry in under 21. There's no... And people, I think, still, because of the old days, have this idea that if they get a concealed carry permit, they're registering their firearms. You're the sheriff. You know it. I am a consumer of that. And in all the years since I've had a concealed carry permit, it's for me. It's not for... I've not ever identified... I probably don't even have a handgun.
What That's do I right. have? And I don't want to know what any individual has. It's not my business.
There you go. Bob says, I know some of us don't want the government to know whether or not we have guns or not, but could we not maybe register all our guns when we purchase them, so when the sheriff or law enforcement pulls people over, runs a check, and notices it's not registered to an individual that they pull over, they can then arrest them for it not being registered to them? We've got to get some help for law enforcement.
Well, the only time you per se register a gun is if you buy one through an FFL dealer, usually a brand new gun purchased somewhere. But that goes to a federal database that, local, state law enforcement don't have access to unless there's a crime being committed and you have to file a subpoena and obtain that information to trace the gun. So, and that's for the protection of the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said just a second ago, it is not my business what all you own. And I don't want anybody knowing what all I own. And that's our Second Amendment right.
Yeah. Now, one thing I've said in the past, people make their own choice. I did, for insurance purposes, keep a note of serial numbers and pictures of firearms I may or may not have. And I was, I was the victim some years ago of a burglary. And to have the serial numbers on that gun to be able, if it shows up in a bus, so I could get it back.
Yep.
Because it's funny, those things get stolen, so many of these, and then at some point they end up getting picked back up. And if you have a serial number and have a register, then you have a way to get it back.
Yeah, I actually received one about a year ago that was stolen from my dad, 10, 12 years ago. So,
wow.
So it's important, and a lot of people don't take the time to record their serial numbers
I did it for insurance stuff as well.
And that's why I do it too. And
I didn't post it anywhere. I've got it on it's written down on a sheet and the photographs.
And that's the thing. Most people won't take the time to actually write down the information. Pop a picture of it with the serial number with your phone. If you buy it new in a box, take a picture of the label on the box, open it up, take a picture of the gun, and then make sure the serial number is included.
Yep. And that doesn't need to go anywhere. It's just with you. It's you hold on to it. Shane in Mobile said, if you were convicted of over 10 years ago of a nonviolent felony, can you obtain a firearm?
No, not by federal government standards. It's if you're a convicted felon, you can't possess a firearm.
I know there was some discussion on the voting side with the governor giving pardons for people to get voting rights back. Is there anything like that for people?
There is. That can be reinstated on the state end, and then that will... the federal will fold into that, if you're granted your rights back.
Mm-hmm.
And, I know several people that fit in that category. They, had a felony drug arrest 20 years ago.
What's that process? They need to take that up with ALEA
actually go online and start the process. It ultimately requires some letters to be written. DA's office usually has to sign on with it, but it lays out the process.
Okay. Let's see. We'll get to that one. It's a little bit lengthy. We'll get to that when we get back. One from earlier, and this is really not your bailiwick. You run the jail, not the prison system, but Trace asks a question for the sheriff. Why the hell are all these death row inmates getting to live an additional 30 years before they're put to death?
I'd be the wrong one to ask, because it would be a lot quicker if it were up to me. I've got a couple folks on death row right now, and I will say, and he's probably referring to the one that, recently the governor signed a date for, that particular individual, because I worked that case, didn't fight anything. He confessed. He said from the very beginning, he went through a mock trial, because if it's capital, you still have to have a trial. and he wants to be put to death. He don't want to go through the appeals process. And
yeah, so like he's asking why the heck is
taking responsibility
that,
for it.
And, so why does it take that long?
Yeah, I mean, just the appeal process. You know, I just had a hearing about a week and a half ago. Guy's been on death row since 2005. Yeah, and just all the evidence in the world. It's just a messed up system.
Coming right back. More of your questions for Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Quick reminder, too, Friday's show, this show, we're going to be at the grounds. It's the G&D Farms Outdoor Expo Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the grounds. Really excited. Midday Mobile there Friday. My friend and I, Mike Ward, are going to be doing our outdoor show, special outdoor show at 11 o'clock on Saturday. So come by and see us there. But 3 days at the grounds for the G&D Farms Outdoor Expo. A lot of questions coming in and statements here for the sheriff. This one from Daniel said, Sheriff, tell the sheriff I praise one of his deputies giving me a courtesy light up when I was running 15 miles over through the Saraland exit at I-65. I was running 78, forgot to turn the cruise off. When I passed the bridge, he came off 158. Instead of pulling me over, he turned his lights on till I slowed down, and then he rode on.
And that accomplishes the same thing as, you know, getting a ticket. You know, that's, yep. You know, you slowed him down.
You had to talk
before
to him.
Before we go any further, I will say, you know, your commercial, yeah. G&D Farms, those are great people. Yes. They're so good to the community. And, you know, they're good out there, and they give back.
Yeah,
so.
Don't hold it against me. Friends of mine, yeah, don't. Well, Miss Starlin, I don't know about Lee, but Miss Starlin for sure. She's my friend, Lee sometimes. David asked two questions for the sheriff. How frequently is it that a death row inmate actually requests an execution and drops all available appeals? So that
this is really the first one that I'm aware of, you know, and I'm not sure the legal processes or process for, you know, I guess, you know, saying no, I don't want any appeals. I know it has to go through a basic appeal process to make sure, you know, all the laws and the protocols are followed. But this is one, you know, when this person's executed, and Dearman's his last name, it'd be the fastest execution I've seen in my law enforcement career.
He goes on to say, and as a representative of Mobile County law enforcement, do you have the opportunity to witness the execution of a death row inmate from Mobile County?
Ones that I've, you know, had involvement with on the cases, yes, I will, you know, if I'm not dead by the time they execute them.
There you go. That's a statement for sure. Ken says, bad guys not getting permits is the point. Everyone getting an ID to vote shows us who shouldn't be voting. Everyone getting a permit shows us who shouldn't be carrying a gun. You can't be for voter ID and against pistol permits at the same time.
Well, I think what Montgomery did was really interesting. You know, I don't know if you followed that, where they said, okay, if you're going to carry, you need to have a valid ID.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of people upset about that. But, you know, my thing is you got to have an ID to do banking business. You have to have an ID to, you know,
buy beer,
yeah. You know, cigarettes, you know, pretty much anything you do. And, you know, in Alabama, you know, ID is required to vote. So I don't understand people's opposition to, you know, it's not having anything to do with the weapon that you may be carrying, but there's nothing wrong with asking you to have a valid ID if you are carrying.
Navy Chief is asking this. He says, please forgive my ignorance, but how is it legal to possess a handgun under 21 years of age when you have to be 21 to purchase a handgun?
Just the way the law is written. You know, possession and purchase is different. You know, the purchase of a handgun is federal law, and you know, or any firearm, and so the possession, you know, is different.
Yeah, somebody could, they can't buy the gun, but the 18 to 21-year-old could be given the gun.
Yep.
Jason said, also, it was nice to see the Pritchard officer held accountable. We had talked about that last time. And so an additional thanks for the sheriff's influence there.
We're just getting started.
I like it. Yeah, and people hadn't heard in the past, too. I mean, this is, once again, people think, well, that's Pritchard, there's Mobile, there's Sims, whatever. But underneath all that is the responsibility of the sheriff's office. So even if a municipality has a police department, but those things aren't you feel or the citizens ask you that this is not being done, y'all can be in that municipality and affect law enforcement.
We can and often do, especially, you know, a lot of your smaller jurisdictions don't have, you know, homicide detectives. So, you know, we work a lot of the homicides even in other jurisdictions. You know, what I try to say and get the message across as it relates to Pritchard, you know, I get asked the question a lot, you know, why do you care so much about what goes on in Pritchard? The problem that we're seeing, a lot of the crimes committed in and around Mobile and different areas of Mobile County, the offenders are from the Pritchard area. So they commit their crimes elsewhere, and then they go back to Pritchard, you know, as a safe haven. So, you know, it's not like they just, we can corral them there. That's where we know we can find them, but they're committing crimes elsewhere. And that's what we're trying to so aggressively work toward, you know, putting them behind bars to protect all the citizens throughout Mobile County.
Well, and speaking of Pritchard specifically, a few months ago, when y'all went out there and really blanketed things in Pritchard, you said it was because people in Pritchard called you. And so not only were they doing crimes elsewhere, these people were doing crimes to people that lived in Pritchard. And They were like, hey, Sheriff, I don't feel safe. I'm not putting words in their mouth.
But they said, we need help.
And this were people who live in Pritchard saying that they're not working these cases, or people are, you know, blatantly disregarding the law. I don't feel safe. Citizens of Pritchard said, and so as a sheriff, you're allowed to go in there and help those people.
Yep. And I will always, you know, and, you know, I say it often, there are still a lot of decent people in Pritchard who maybe retired from some of the plants that are now closed down. You know, they worked all their life to pay off their home.
You got a right to live.
And they can't afford to move, nor should they have to. You know, they should.
Agreed.
They have a right to feel safe in their home. And, you know, it's my duty to make sure they do.
Because wherever you live in the county, and if you're in a municipality, just think if your law enforcement just didn't get it done and you were scared and said, like, I'm going to look to, if they're not going to do it, who's going to do it?
We are.
C.B. Carl said, ask the sheriff about the laws for morons that don't turn on their headlights in the rain.
There are a lot of different laws like that that I could, you know, I was behind one on airport just a while ago that was in the left lane. Doing about 25 miles an hour. So, yeah, I wish there were, I guess, citations you can write for being a moron.
Gosh, you would. I mean, how big would your books have to be?
You'd have to start another courtroom.
This from Motorman says, what about the discrimination angle argument someone might try to use? My wife and I still get our permits every year, even though we don't need them. I guess it's discrimination for age you're talking about on the permitting. I'm guessing. So, Motorman, maybe you can text back. He said, what about the discrimination angle argument someone might try to use? My wife and I still get our permits every year, even though we don't need them. I will say, Motorman, if you're going to drive outside the state, I mean, that's why mine will always stay current.
Right.
If I had a handgun, I probably don't. But if I did and I would drive out of state, it's important for me to have that.
It is. I mean, chances are, you know, if you're not doing anything crazy, nobody, you know, will ever know you have one. But, you know, if you happen to get stopped and there's, you know, firearm recovered and that state requires a permit, mm-hmm. you don't have one, you know, you may have a problem.
Yeah. I don't want to have any reason to.
Yeah. You know, and I guess with that question, if he's asking about the age group as it relates to discrimination, you know, that's based totally on stats. I mean, it's, you know, we can show each and every one of those crimes and how far they date back in the age groups, and, you know, that's why we're discussing that.
Yeah, he's saying, yeah, he confirmed, yes, the age group thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's based solely on statistics.
It is a weird thing because, and, you know, you and I are both pretty strong Second Amendment folks here, and I could say the Second Amendment didn't say age. Right.
Right.
So I could make a big argument, idealistic argument. You should be able to have the gun at 2 years old, whatever. And everybody goes, well, you can't do that. So you have to pick some age, and it becomes the age of majority or 18 for having it. But then here's the law in the books, like Navy Chief asked earlier, you can't buy the thing. You know, so the law says you can't buy the thing, but you can possess the thing. I mean, it's not as cut and dry as I might want it to be from a Second Amendment angle.
You know, and when you try to, I guess, compare and contrast federal law to state law, a lot of times they're contradictory, you know, and confusing. So I mean, I see both sides of that argument. But again, all I'm looking is for a discussion to see what we can do to stop some of the violence of that age group. And right now, I don't have any other ideas.
No, it's got to come from all ends. It's got to come from law enforcement and that. Same thing, it's got to come from my friend John Young, Men Unite Against Violence, for this change. It's not an ordinance, not a law, there's got to be a heart change at the same time.
You're right.
So that's going to take a long time.
It takes more time.
It does take a long time. And John and I talk about it all the time. That doesn't mean it's not worth doing. It should be going on while this other stuff is going on, that maybe in a decade and a half, something changes, you know, and we return to a value system that we've lost.
You're right. You know, and here's, I can guess Lori Miles is probably about to cringe, but
hey, Lori,
if it were, you know, up to me, these gangbangers that want to kill each other, build a bulletproof arena and let them go at it.
Hey,
it's the innocent people who get killed that infuriate me.
You're speaking, you know what I mean? For me. You're speaking for me. If y'all want to go down, we're going to shut down Brooklyn, and y'all get out there at the end of the tarmac, and you shoot it out. Leave all the grandmothers and children and all this that are shot with this crap out of it.
It's the innocents that infuriate me.
Me too.
And if they want to kill each other, have at it.
Now, that's
do it safely.
And I think that's what, and I think if you're going to kill each other, do it safely. But no, this brought, you know, this was motivated me over the last couple of years to really be really engaged in this, is these stories of kids. They're just doing kid stuff, you know, and here's some other kids decide they're going to shoot it out.
Yeah.
And they shoot that kid, or they shoot that kid's grandmother, or they, you know, shoot into a house where people are sleeping.
Well, yeah, yeah,
I mean,
that recent sleeping, then we've had, you know, children killed, children paralyzed.
Sitting in their homes doing what they're supposed to do. Watching TV, working at home.
Atrocious was in Pritchard probably 3 years ago. A lady was literally on her knees in church and catches a bullet.
You gotta be kidding me.
Mm-mm. No, there's been an arrest made in that case. It took, I think, several months to finally make an arrest. But yeah, literally on her knees in church and was shot and killed.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
9-year-old boy shot on the connector, who had been shot before.
Yep.
At 9, he had been shot
twice.
Two different incidents. Not in one incident, y'all. He had been shot before when he got shot that time. I'm done with it. It's unexcusable. It's unexcusable. All right. The Real Sam texts in here. He said, what's the exact law on how and when you can defend yourself with deadly force in the state of Alabama?
You have to, number one, you know, I will say, you know, Alabama is a stand your ground state, but you have to be able to honestly articulate that you are in fear of your life or the life of another, period.
Yep. That's, and people say, well, inside your home, and there's castle doctrine there, but there's also, outside your home, there's no way to escape it. There's somebody going to, yourself or an innocent, is going to be hurt.
Right. Like I said, the main phrase is that you have to be able to articulate that you are in fear of your life or the life of another.
There you go. Sean in Baldwin County said, why doesn't South Carolina reciprocate with Alabama on pistol permits?
Ask Anthony in Baldwin County.
There we go.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. Sheriff Lowry is going to be coming on in 2 weeks. So.
We'll... Yep. So, you know, there are a number of states that don't reciprocate.
You know, New York.
My wife.
You can't, as a sheriff, you can't legally carry in New York, can you?
Nope. New York and I think New Jersey.
I'm pointing at it, but the sheriff of Mobile County can't carry there.
Not unless I'm there in an official capacity, and you know, which would be strictly job related. You know, I give my wife traveled to Colorado recently, and New Mexico is not a reciprocal state, so we had to plan a route around New Mexico. Not that, you know, we thought there'd be a problem, but why risk it?
Correct. I tell you what, we'll run to the break here because I got a bunch more questions coming in, and we'll get a chance to ask them of Sheriff Birch when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:51 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Continue our conversation with Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch. This question from just jumped on me here. Okay, Jason. Can or has the Sheriff's Department conducted roadblocks in known hotspots?
We have, and, you know, those are effective for a very short time. I mean, you know, just say, and those are based off data as well. But by the time you're there an hour, everybody knows you're there. Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. You have to pick up and move elsewhere. And so, you know, intense saturation of known areas of high crime seem to be much more effective than a roadblock.
Okay. So. Because, I mean, the stats, right, y'all are always, we talk about the high tech in policing, but there's also a best practices in policing. Y'all learn from what works, what doesn't.
It does. But the times that we have and the times that we may, what we will not do is advertise when we're going to do it.
Right.
Kind of, you know, defeats the purpose.
Although then people argue that, you can advertise it because the people you're going to get aren't listening to the, yeah, or paying attention to the news.
Why take that risk?
Like it takes away my, you know, I'm glad I got stopped because I have one of my roadblock stories. Most of them, nothing ever happened, but I got stopped one time and went to get the license or the registration out of the glove compartment. And I had a green acrylic thing in there. And the officer went, mm-mm, what is that? And I said, it's a duck call. And he's like, let me, because it looked like some kind of pipe or something like that. And so I was there blowing a duck call at a traffic, at a stop there, at a roadblock. So that's, he's like, yeah, it sounded pretty good. I'm like, thanks. That went on about my way. All right, Fire Dog said, can we get the sheriff approved Thunderdome? Two dirt bags enter, one dirt bag leaves. Maybe American Ninja Warrior, but criminals having to run the gauntlet of the ninjas. I saw Running Man back in the 80s. Why do I have to think of these solutions? you crystallize it, you boiled it down to where I think so many of us are, is we've had violence, we've had that, but it was, I guess in the time it was, they didn't bring everybody else into it.
No, there was, you know,
I'm not saying, code. Oh, there's bad guys. I'm surprised. Of course there's bad guys.
Yeah, you're right. But you know, the older generations, there were things they just didn't do.
Shooting into somebody's house where somebody, shooting into a church where a woman's in church on her knees praying and gets shot.
Yeah.
And we've had little blips of this, but I'm waiting for a community-wide revival of every Mobile County person, everybody in the city of Mobile, everybody, I care what your skin color is, to go to hell with this. We're not doing this anymore. We're not doing this anymore. We're going to figure out how to stop this.
It needs to get there sooner than later.
Monty says, does the Mobile County Sheriff's Office ever stop and question the late-night bike riders that have backpacks in the Sims and Wilmer area? They all make a point to have on dark clothes. Everyone knows they're checking for unlocked cars, just looking for something to steal in general.
Well, I can say, you know, Sims has their own, you know, police department, but, you know, it is rare to see people on bicycles, you know, out in the county because mm-hmm. usually, you know, it's major roads. And mm-hmm. But certainly if they see people, you know, wearing dark clothing at night, whether it be on foot or on a bicycle, you know, if a patrol deputy stops them, I would think they would stop and see what's going on. And, you know, I will say the deputies that we have, we shrunk the areas that they're responsible for, you know, a couple of years ago. So they're very familiar with who is supposed to be in that area and who's not and what they're up to.
Yeah, you had rolled this out after coming in as the sheriff that you shrunk the areas. They had these, but then you have a group. It was like, I think it reminded me of the way we used to do 5-3 defense in high school football. You had these positions, but then you had the monster back. They called it, they could move to an area like, okay, the play's going that way.
Special operations division. Yeah.
So, and they can work in it. Like if that deputy's like working area 5, I don't know, 4, whatever. And there's a lot of problem there. Then they come in and assist, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and also on the roadway stuff, I don't know how we, you know, given tickets for being idiots like C.B. Carl talked about earlier, but I don't know what it is. People's lack of self-preservation walking across airport or 65 or 10, I've yet to figure that out. But I'm way more concerned with the person walking across traffic than they seem to be with their own.
It's amazing to watch. Sometimes they just lackadaisical just walk across, hoping people are going to stop or anticipate, you know, expecting them to, and not all. Number one, you know, somebody may be on their phone. You know,
yes, not supposed to. No be. Joke.
Or they just don't react quick enough, and you know, because you can't judge the speed of a vehicle that's, you know, coming at you.
Now, if I have to cross a roadway and I'm the situation like that, I'm like, what is in the Charlie Daniels song, like my backside's on fire and my hair was catching. Yes. All right. Before we wrap up, too, the website here. Oh wait, one more quick one here. Let's see. Can we get this one in? Question for the sheriff. Does the Mobile County Sheriff's Office have a community outreach program and information outreach like Pinal County Sheriff in Arizona? And does Mobile have a traffic unit in the Sheriff's Department?
We do not have a traffic unit, and you know, I'm not sure which, you know, outreach program he's talking about. I have to look. We do have a Citizens Academy, and we do offer, you know, free firearms familiarization courses. So,
which is important. People ask me about that.
And it's free. So
yeah, people say, I bought this, I want to know how to use it.
Yep.
Y'all do that.
We do.
All right. Website, people can go to the website.
MobileSO.com.
And see who's in jail?
See who's in jail. You can leave a crime tip anonymously, check into those different programs that, you know, we just talked about, and, you know, look us up and give us a call.
All right. I appreciate your time. Thanks for being on with us.
Thank you, and thank you, all the listeners.
All right. We'll do it again next month with Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch. And, yes, as I mentioned, Sheriff Lowry from Baldwin County, that's starting later this month. He'll be joining us once a month as well. So all the people said, Sean, I want to talk Baldwin County stuff. Well, we will as well. All right. Coming back, April Marie Fogle joins me right here on Midday Mobile.